our position is that with an increased rating claim, what is proper to advise the appellant is to keep it as general as possible, because the evidence itself will direct the rating specialist to the appropriate diagnostic code. And telling the appellant to submit evidence that his condition had worsened essentially informs him of what he needs to do.
Well, in this case, would you not say it's fair to say that based on the criteria we've discussed here already, and indeed set out in your brief, that it would be relevant to the increased rating claim to have submitted both medical and non-medical evidence?
Would it be.
And if that's the case, why is it that the VA shouldn't, in order to give the veteran the opportunity to fully and fairly participate in this exchange and providing of evidence, why shouldn't the VA be required to give, at least in the most general terms, some examples of what the veteran must show, so that the veteran has a clue of what he or she must have to go out and get?
Well, because getting claim specific and trying to identify what evidence is needed to establish a higher rating under a particular diagnostic code is really having the rating specialist look at the evidence and pre-adjudicate to some degree the claim, and possibly could even mislead the veteran if we informed him that he needed to show evidence of, you know, creatine at a certain level. Or
what if you just said, you know, that you need to show your condition worsen. This might require you to go to, it would be helpful to have a diagnosis from a doctor or medical professional with regard to the specifics of your condition. And in this case, because the rating criteria specifically relate to lay type information about your particular symptoms and how you think they have gotten worse. Just that. So that he had the opportunity to go to a doctor. You don't have to tell him every little bit that's in the rating schedule, but don't you think that the veteran ought to have at least a hint?
I think that will, yes. And I think that we did that to some degree in the 1203 letter. We told him on page 925, which is the first page of the letter, that he should send in any treatment reports pertinent to his nephrolithiasis, mm-hmm. anything recent within the last 12 months, any statements from doctors or hospitals, laboratories, medical facilities. So we told him to essentially submit anything that he had, really anything that he had in his possession, which, and anything pertinent to his claim. And then we went on to say, we will obtain anything that is from a federal agency, and we might set you up for an examination if we determine that one is necessary.
Of course, so, you wouldn't know unless you ordered the exam, whether you determined it to be necessary or not.
Right, he wouldn't.
How could he be prejudiced by telling him to submit information showing you have generalized poor health characterized by lethargy, weakness, anorexia, weight loss, or limitation of exertion, or even if it was, you could submit evidence of persistent edema and the other technical medical terms that are in here? How is that prejudicial to the veteran? I'm at a loss on this.
How is
more information related to what it is that could get you a rating, and it's presumed to be seeking the highest rating possible, how is that prejudicial to him?
I mean,
it might be one thing to say you don't have to give that much information, but I'm having a hard time following how it's prejudicial to say, gee, this is the rating schedule.
No, I don't think it would be prejudicial to provide more information.
I thought you had said that.
No, and we did provide it in the statement of the case and in the supplemental statement of the case.
Well, you said it would be misleading, I thought.
Well, possibly mislead the veteran into believing that this is the diagnostic code that we are ultimately going to rate you under. Submit evidence to qualify for the higher rating under this particular diagnostic code, and then when the evidence comes
in,
realize that it's...
But in an increased rating claim, as opposed to an original claim, where you don't know the DC in the original claim yet, in an increased rating claim, I agree, you might end up in someone way over here. But you know when it's filed, you're dealing with this one, and if this one refers you immediately to a second one, it's pretty obvious that these are the ones that you're going to be dealing with. Why wouldn't notice on those be appropriate, proper, and in fact required?
Our position is that that level of specificity is not required in the notice because, well, here the veteran has the maximum scheduler rating, so it does automatically pull you into a different diagnostic code than the one he's been rated under. And by doing that, when you move into the renal dysfunction diagnostic code, that implicates other diagnostic codes, including hypertension. And the veterans complained of pain, back pain, significant back pain. If the evidence bore out that he had some type of back-related problem from straining from, you know, passing kidney stones, that would implicate the diagnostic code.
If this were a system where VA did everything and did everything right, this would work. And I don't mean to disparage VA at all by that statement, but we're all humans. But if it's a system that is intended to have participation of the veteran with the secretary helping him, working together, can't the veteran work better if he understands the possibilities for the rating code and what he has? I mean, it seems to me when you come in with kidney stones, you're not thinking, geez, lethargy, weakness, anorexia could give me a higher rating. Just as common sense. I mean, you wouldn't think those things. So what's wrong with, if it's that obvious and it flows that readily, in giving that type of notice?
Well, because it's not for the veteran to evaluate the rating code and decide what symptoms he has and how they fit into the different diagnostic codes. All he needs to do is submit evidence that his condition worsened or even what his current condition is. And then a medical provider will evaluate whether or not what the current level of disability
is. But
in fact, as you indicated earlier, the beauty of this is that in an increased rating claim, the veteran is a person who already has a substantiated service connection claim. He's already been down that route, and it's the same disability that he's already familiar with as to how he substantiated or how that claim was substantiated. And what you're suggesting is that all that has to happen now, based upon the previous decision, is that you tell VA that you believe that your condition has increased in severity. And from that triggers a multitude of assistance by VA in terms of examinations and what have you to make a determination on the severity of that disability.
That's correct. That's the way the process is supposed to work.
All that person has to do is just step through the threshold and VA takes over.
That's right. That is how the process is supposed to work.
So if that was the case, then no notice. I guess just the most, there would be no notice required, right? Because just by merely making the claim and saying my condition, he's already said my condition has worsened. Just by making that claim, then it seems to me from that position, then the VCA wouldn't even apply in this case. The notice provisions of VCA wouldn't apply. I mean, is that?
Well, our position is that the VCA does apply to increased rating claims.
Okay.
But the duty to assist, which appellant did not address in her brief or today at oral argument, would come into play if an appellant asserts that his condition is worse under this court's case law, in Purcell in particular. VA has a duty to afford the appellant an examination to ascertain the current level of disability. But that doesn't obviate the need for providing notice in accordance with 5103A, which we think was accomplished by the December 03 letter.
But wait a minute. What would be the notice in that case? In the scenario I just gave, what would be the notice that you would give?
Well, the VA examination is just one component of the assistance provided. We still advise the appellant to submit any private records, any lay statements, any treatment records he may have in his possession over the last 12 months, identify to us any providers who he's seen with regard to his kidney disorder, and that those records will also be obtained if he identifies any to us. So the VA exam is just one part of the process in determining what the current level of disability is, and taking that medical information and applying it to the rating schedule. We think that the December 03 letter did provide the veteran with that.
Why do we take the effort to, as they did in the board decision here, to explain why you don't meet 50%, why you don't meet 70%? I think that's a court requirement. Why is that important to tell them after the fact? These are the things we evaluated against, but you don't need to know that ahead of time. These are public, though. They're not private, right? They're public. They're in a regulation. So now we have lawyers down at the RO level. Lawyers are going to certainly go get these things because they know about it. So why would we tell the veteran who didn't get a lawyer, we're not going to give you the rating schedule. You don't get to look at it. What's the hiding factor here? I'm not following it.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily being hidden. It's just in an effort to tell the veteran what he needs to submit, which is information that his condition has worsened. After the claim is adjudicated, the RO has already identified the diagnostic codes that it has selected as the most appropriate. And in the board decision, there's a duty for the board to provide adequate reasons and basis. So in doing that, the board explains the diagnostic code that it has selected, or that the RO has selected, discuss the provisions for obtaining a higher rating, discuss extra scheduler consideration and whether or not they think that a referral for that is warranted, and discuss whether or not there are any other pertinent diagnostic codes that might be implicated. So that's sort of the basis of the board's discussion of the different disability ratings for renal dysfunction. Again, the Secretary's position is that the December 2003 letter provided adequate VCA notice, discussed all four VCAA elements, was provided timely, and that there was a subsequent adjudication in the February 2004 statement of the case, and that even if the court somehow found that notice inadequate, appellant has not shown that he's been prejudiced in any way in this case.
Well, I'd like to ask you a question about the reasons and basis with regard to the second claim. On page 12 of the record, the board did a discussion of two statements provided by a doctor on behalf of the veteran and found them to be contradicting. Can you explain that further?
I can. The board found that the June 1995 statement from Dr. Warbe diagnosed the veteran with schizophrenia and related that to service, and then that he testified in June 1998 and discussed and changed the diagnosis to major depression and related it to the renal disorder. However, if you look at the 1998 hearing testimony, Dr. Warbe not only changes the diagnosis to major depression, he relates it to the renal disorder, and he also says that it started in active duty. So there was a basis for the board to find his diagnoses were inconsistent with each other. First, he said that he had schizophrenia related to active duty. Then at the hearing, he testified that he had major depression related to active duty. Then we got a VA examination, and on page 519, I believe, Dr. Warbe submitted a statement again saying that he reviewed the VA examination, and he agreed that the veteran had major depression that was related to active duty, and that the in-service diagnosis of an adult situational reaction was wrong. So I think that there was a reasonable basis for the board to favor the two VA examinations, both of which one was conducted by more than one physician, the June 2001 examination. But all of the VA examiners have found that the in-service diagnosis was correct.
Does he have schizophrenia?
According to VA, he currently has major depressive disorder.
What does he have for Social Security?
With Social Security, he has schizophrenia.
And he does have schizophrenia back in his service records also.
Well, he has schizoid personality.
Schizoid personality.
Right.
Where does the board discuss any of that?
Well, the board discusses his service records, and they found that they favored the opinions of the VA examiners that evaluated those service records and found that whatever the veteran had in service was properly diagnosed as an adult situational reaction, was related to homesickness, had resolved itself. He was able to continue to serve for four to five additional years, and then continue after his discharge for at least 7 years before seeking psychiatric help, and closer to 9 years before having a diagnosis of schizophrenia. In 1979, he was diagnosed by his private physician. Actually, he was diagnosed with major depressive disorder, but that diagnosis was changed 3 years later by his private physician to major depressive disorder.
Along the same line, the appellant argues that the board did not address two specific medical opinions. That's the opinion of Dr. Correa Grau and a 1994 VA medical opinion that both, according to the appellant, would relate the kidney disease to the psychiatric disease. The Dr. Correa Grau's medical evaluation is at record 280,
right.
And the VA is at medical opinion is at record 362. What can you tell me about that?
Well, our position is that the board did discuss Dr. Grau's record in its rendition of the facts, and it discussed a 1982 private psychiatric record that diagnosed the veteran with schizophrenic reaction.
But it doesn't discuss the note at the bottom of that record, does it?
It doesn't, but it's unclear really from that note whether or not the Dr. Grau is relating the schizophrenic reaction to the kidney disorder, because what he says is that the veteran's psychiatric reaction becomes more prominent when his physical symptomatology flares up. But 3 years prior, Dr. Grau had diagnosed the veteran with hypertension, previous cardiac arrest. The veteran had a cardiac arrest in service in 1964, so he has other physical ailments that he was diagnosed with besides just the nephrolithiasis. So our position is really that the board only needs to discuss material evidence under De La Cruz, and that this particular record was not material because it wasn't clear that he was relating the flare-ups to the nephrolithiasis.
But you do agree that it wasn't discussed, that portion of it?
It was not discussed in the board's analysis.
Right. Okay. And then, I'm sorry, go ahead to the...
The other record at 362, our position with regard to that is it really is a rendition of the veteran's history and his complaints that his depression is worse when his nephrolithiasis flares up. But it's really not a diagnosis. It's an outpatient note, and it doesn't appear to have been rendered with the purpose of diagnosing the condition as opposed to treating it.
Just a curious question. An increased rating is a new claim. Increased rating claim is a new claim.
Yes.
So Dr. Grau's statement in 1982, or whatever date it was, was related to a previous decision, wasn't it?
It was considered when he... That statement was... I think all of this evidence was obtained in Dr. Grau's record was probably obtained in furtherance of the veteran's psychiatric claim. The increased rating claim was filed in 1994, and that's currently still the claim on appeal.
Okay, so that piece of evidence was more to establishing service connection for his mental condition as opposed to support for the increased rating.
I think so. It was submitted by a psychiatrist, so I think that that's reasonable to conclude.
Because there had been a decision on the increased rating between or subsequent to that evidence.
Well, the increased rating claim was submitted in 1994. The veteran was originally granted service connection with a 30% disability in the 70s, and then he submitted a claim for an increased rating in 1994.
Okay.
I believe that claim was denied in 1995, and at that time, Dr. Groh's records would have been considered.
Can you go to the record at 585? As I understand it, there were considerations to whether the psychotic disorder was directly service-connected or secondary to the kidney stones.
Yes, yes.
And at G5, this is the VA doctor's opinion, at G5, this appears to be the key component of a determination that there is no secondary service condition. Connection, and the doctor states the patient does not report any subjective complaint, comma, any type of relationship between his renal symptoms and his psychiatric symptomatology. Do you know what that means?
I think what that means is that on examination, the veteran did not advise the examiner that he feels that his psychiatric disability flares when his kidney problem is worse.
All right.
But that was sort of, he reported that to VA several times.
And then in his clinical history, there's no type of relationship between his service-connected renal condition and his depressive disorder. That would be the direct service connection, right?
Yes.
So how reliable is his determination that there's no secondary connection?
The examiner's. How reliable is the examiner? Well,
I think I just heard you say he reported that to VA a couple of times. It's also stated in the hearing on 455 where it was reported by the doctor that had been reported to him that there were connections to him. He thought he was going to die, et cetera, because of his kidneys.
Well, right. That's what the veteran has said. And the purpose of the VA examination was, I guess, to evaluate whether medically there was a relationship between his kidney disorder and his psychiatric condition.
Well, where does it say any of that on page 585? It sure seems to me like the doctor is relying on no subjective complaint, no relationship between the renal symptoms and psychiatric symptomatology.
Well, that's what he, that's a statement that he makes in his opinion, but he did review the veteran's claims file. He did go through.
Is that statement discussed in the board at all?
The statement that there's no subjective complaint, I believe so, yes.
Is it explained in the board?
I believe that the board relies upon it along with statements from the June 2000 examiner to find that the kidney disorder is, that there's no second.
With regard to the inconsistency of Dr. J, I'll call him because I don't remember his name. At the hearing on 454 and 455, didn't he clearly state that the first report was given on just a simple incomplete file and that he subsequently had reviewed the complete file and explained why it was different?
He did do that, but he didn't indicate how he could reach the conclusion that the major depressive disorder, which is what he changed the diagnosis to, was related both to service, i.e. started in 1964, and secondary to the renal condition.
Was he asked that question? I mean, I agree it's sitting there, but there's also an awful lot of schizophrenia, schizoid personality. He's rated schizophrenic by Social Security. None of that's discussed in this board decision. None of it's really discussed in detail by the doctors, and you're sitting here wondering, okay, gee, doctors, which one does he really have, this one or that one? Does it really tie back to the service, or is it related to secondary? But let's just go back to secondary. How comfortable is determination from the doctor, VA doctor, given the statement on 585, which appears to be inconsistent with the actual record, as far as secondary connection?
Well, this, the board relied on this statement. We sent him for the examination, and the examiner ultimately concluded that it wasn't related to either service or the renal condition, and this examiner's opinion is supported by the examiners in June 2000 who also found the same thing after reviewing the file, examining the veteran, talking to the veteran, and they reached the same conclusion. And And the exam, we think, is clearly not inadequate. It was rendered in accordance with VA regs, and the board was proper to they explained their bases for relying on the VA examiner's opinions.
If a medical opinion is rendered upon facts that later prove to be inaccurate, can't we discount that medical opinion? Or
yes, but I don't think that these facts are really proven to be inadequate. They're proven to. The veteran has reported that, in his opinion, his psychiatric condition worsens when his physical kidney problem flares up. But he's not really medically competent to make that type of relationship. So in order to really ascertain whether or not the kidney disorder is being aggravated by the mental problem, the kidney problem is aggravating the mental disorder, we send him for a VA examination, and we rely on the opinions of the examiners.
But if the examiner, as Judge Castle pointed out, makes a statement upon which he apparently relied to render his decision, that in the clinical history there is no type of relationship between his service-connected renal condition and his depressive disorder, and Dr. Warbe at least made the connection, whether he made it specifically with regard to the depressive disorder, I'm not so certain, but did twice make some sort of a connection. Don't you think that's an important fact to be discussed either by the board or in relationship to this opinion? That statement doesn't seem to track particularly with me. How should we deal with that fact?
Well, I think the board clearly discussed the different opinions from Dr. Warbe and why they found the VA examiners more persuasive. So the board was aware of the evidence in the record presented by Dr. Warbe that the kidney condition worsened when his kidney disorder flared. But with regard to the VA examiner, he did review the claims file, and Dr. Warbe's records were in the claims file. He discusses, Dr. Warbe's diagnosis in September of 95 related to schizophrenia. So he doesn't discuss specifically the hearing testimony, but that was in the record at the time this opinion was rendered, so he had access to it and ultimately concluded that there was no clinical evidence relating the two.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Lieberman, you've got 10 minutes, and you can use it any way you wish. Until we ask questions.
Thank you for that caveat. The VA says that Mr. Vasquez is asking for a pre-adjudication of his increased rating claim, and I would respond to that by saying nothing could be further than the truth. I'm not standing here arguing to you that it was incumbent upon the personnel at the regional office to look through his file to weigh or consider the evidence that was already in there and to write him a nice letter explaining exactly why the information he had already submitted wasn't good enough. What I'm advocating instead is that simply needed to look at his file, see that he already had a 30% maximum scheduler rating under the diagnostic code under which he was rated, and inform him of what type of information and evidence he needed to submit in order to go beyond that.
And how is he prejudiced if we find that there's error in the notice?
Because by not having informed him of the particular type of information and evidence that he needed to present, he's been denied that meaningful opportunity to participate in his claim. earlier this week, Your Honors, it was 60 degrees. If the weatherman had merely told us it's going to be colder tomorrow without letting us know that an Arctic wind is coming through and that we're expecting snow, none of us wouldn't have known that we needed our snow boots, our scarves, our hats, our winter coats in order to walk out the door in the morning. In the same way, without letting this claimant know exactly what he's dealing with, exactly what type of information he needs, it's not helpful. It's simply not helpful. And that type of notice is not meaningful. The VA also submits that telling the veteran you need to submit records of your recent treatment is adequate. I don't think so. He does need to submit records of his recent treatment. But if he doesn't have an understanding of the type of information that those records need to contain or what the rating criteria are, again, it's not helpful. As Judge Castle, as you pointed out, it really might not be difficult for someone to come up with material showing that he's lethargic, that he's had weight loss. If the veteran isn't provided that information to tell him that's the information you need to give us, then he wouldn't know to provide it. And simply telling him you need to provide the additional information isn't good enough. Unless you have some other questions for me, I have nothing further.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. We'll greet the bar, and then the court will be adjourned.